Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Luke chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 1 through 7. What are some of your best memories of Christmas? Is there a certain Christmas that stands out to you that you remember above all the rest? Yeah. Often it doesn't, who can remember what they got for Christmas last year? Anybody remember what you got for Christmas last year? Oh, see? Oh, Don, you remember one thing, huh? Often it's not about the presents that we get, is it? I get the kick out of some of the commercials, the Lexus commercials, and you know they get their spouse a new Lexus, and it's kind of like it's a little bit out of my range there, but often the Christmases that we remember, it's probably not the gifts, it's other things. Probably one of the Christmases I remember the most is when I was a junior in high school. We moved up to Alaska in the middle of winter. That's just not, I don't know, there's just something wrong with that, but that's what we did. We moved from North Dakota all the way up to Alaska. I remember going through the Yukon Territory, and Watson Lake is in the Yukon Territory, and I remember there was no wind that morning, but it was 40 below with no wind chill. Just the smoke was coming out of the chimneys, just going straight up. It was pretty picturesque, but oh, wow, it was cold. But we got up there just right before Christmas. We celebrated our first Christmas up there. There actually was no snow up there that year. There was about that much ice because it had freezing rain. But I remember that. It wasn't the presents. I don't even know if we did presents that year. But it was just the move up there, just how it brought our family together. It's a Christmas that I'll remember. I think it was a reminder to me what was really important in family. So there's different things that probably come to our mind that make a certain Christmas special. And as we look at our story, I think our account that Luke gives us, and we know that Luke was probably saved. He was probably not part of, he wasn't a follower of Christ, because he never got to know Jesus from what we understand. He came out of the church in Antioch, probably through Paul's ministry. So he was a little bit second generation from the other, say, like a Matthew or a Mark that actually were some of the disciples or followers of Christ. But he did his homework. He went and talked to the eyewitnesses. And so he writes one of the most accurate accounts that we have of the birth of Christ. So let's pick that up in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and we're going to work our way through verse 20. It says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." Now, Israel was under Roman occupation at that time, and so they were free to do a lot of different things, but there was still this weight of oppression from the Roman government that rested over Israel and much of the world at that time. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. Okay, and so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem. Bethlehem in the Hebrew means house of bread. Kind of interesting. So Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and John would call him the what? The bread of life. See that symbolism? I think God knew all that. In the town of David. And it's also prophesied in Micah 2:5 that it would be in Bethlehem that the Christ would be born. So Micah, the Old Testament minor prophet, would prophesy that it would be in Bethlehem that Christ would be born, in the city of David. So he'd be of the lineage of David in the city of David. That was Bethlehem became known as the city of David because that's where David first established his throne and his kingdom. All right? It was from. He went up there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. So it would be our term of engagement, but at a higher level of commitment. And she was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. So she made that long trip, being in the late stages of her pregnancy. The donkey ride probably did not help things out, did it? And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. They wrapped him in clothes and they placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your revelation to us, so that we can know God and we can know you better and know how to know God. So, Father, I just ask your blessing upon our time together here this morning, the minutes we have. In your name we pray. Amen. We have the account from Luke of the birth of Christ. And then we go on from there as God announces this good news. Jesus is born, and so now he announces it to the shepherds in a spectacular way, doesn't he? Now, you know, you think about the ways that he could announce it. He could have gotten a biplane, you know, with the banner behind it and flown it around Jerusalem and Bethlehem, right? You know, the Messiah is born, right? They could have put it on a billboard. Of course, they didn't have any of that back in those days, did they? And so we're going to see how God chose to reveal the birth, the good news of the Son Jesus. And through that, he reveals it to shepherds. The shepherds were not the upper crust of society, okay? Neither were they the lowest, but they were just the common people in Israel. They were hardworking. They were the salt of the earth type of people. They very common trade in Israel. They were kind of the backbone of Israel. And it is through them that God would reveal the good news that the Savior would be born. I think it really communicates that God would reveal, he could have revealed it to the emperor, the ruling authorities, to the scribes. They're the ones that should have, right? Should have been to them. In fact, they were the ones that totally missed it. But instead, God reveals it to these shepherds. And I think it's a good message to us that God reveals himself to those that are looking for him. So regardless of race, gender, social class, your lot in life, God is there. So let's look at that. I want us to see how the shepherds responded to the good news, to the revelation that God was about to share with them. And I believe we can learn some things from their example. So let's go 8 through 16. It says, and then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, okay, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We sang about that in the first Noel. And the angels of the Lord appeared, an angel of the Lord, just one at first, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So if you were in class on Wednesday night, glory means what? That was your word, wasn't it, Dave? It was your word, yes. Wait, yes. Yes, as we looked it up in the original languages, glory, you know, a lot of times we may associate it with kind of a radiance, okay? But it, actually, within the original language, that idea of glory means that there's, you can feel it. There's some weight to the presence there, that the glory of the Lord, and they kind of what? See how they respond, okay? The glory of the Lord shone around. They were terrified. Why? Because the glory is there, the presence. It's something that they can feel, and they don't know what to do. They don't know if they should run, they should hide, think they should be dead, you know? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, which was a feeding trough, right? Nothing other than a feeding trough for the sheep and the livestock. And suddenly a great company of angels and heavenly hosts appeared with the angels. So now you had one angel, and now you have this host of angels that are filling up the sky. You know, and isn't it fun just to be out in the country without any lights? And to see the splendor of the stars. You know, they didn't have any street lights, probably. They maybe had some lanterns lit, some torches for their own lighting. But all of a sudden, now the sky was alive with these angels in the presence of God. When the angels had left, when the angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, Luke makes no reference of the star, right? Who makes reference of the star? Matthew does with the wise men, right? They follow the star, and they actually probably arrive maybe even up to 2 years after Christ had been born. All right? That leads him. So we're not, it doesn't say in Luke that they followed a star. They just followed the directions that the angel had given them. And they find, so they look maybe from house to house, they finally find this, basically probably a cave. A cave was often a common place where they would keep their livestock, because that's where Christ was born. And they make their way there, and they find the Christ child, and their heart's overwhelmed. The first thing that I see is, what did the shepherds do with this revelation that God had given them? What did they do? First thing they did is they acted, and this is in your notes in the second page of your program there. They acted upon the revelation that they had received, right? They acted upon it, and we're going to, when we get to the end, we're going to see that that's not always everybody's response. They acted upon the revelation that they had received. How did they react? Well, the first thing that we see that they did is, after they got over being shocked and terrified and amazed, right? Okay. They then went into, maybe they had to make a change of clothes, I don't know. But they went into Bethlehem to find this Christ child that had been born, and to see it for themselves. They acted upon the revelation that they had received. You know, God's revelation to us is going to come in many different shapes and forms. It can come through God's Word, right? This is God's revelation to us, right? It can come by God just speaking to us by His Spirit, okay? That maybe sometimes in dreams and visions, there's been stories of, especially in the Islamic world, where they've had a dream and a vision of Christ. And it's through that that they've been sought out and said, you know, can you tell me? I was supposed to come and see you. This angel told me that you would tell me how I can know God. Others, maybe it comes in a form of a friend. Maybe you came to know Christ because of a friend that shared their story, shared Christ with you. And they shared God's revelation, the good news, with you. It can come in many different shapes or forms. The key is that they acted upon the revelation that they received, and not everybody does that. Some people ignore it, or they become hostile to it. But the shepherds rejoiced in what they had seen, and that they were part of it. And for once, mankind had the opportunity to see, to hear, to touch God. The Word had become flesh. And God's living Word, Jesus, okay, so He had the Word, and the Word became flesh, right? Okay, became Jesus, so that we could touch, we could feel, we could see that God would live amongst us, and that we could know Him in a greater way. The Word became flesh. The wise men and the shepherds acted wisely. They sought Jesus out. Herod, on the other hand, would try to destroy Jesus, wouldn't he? He would have all the Hebrew boys killed. And so my question for each of us is, what revelation has been shared with you? How has God revealed? Maybe he's revealed Himself through creation. You ever been out in creation and just maybe to the Grand Canyon, or just even watching a Nebraska sunset or sunrise, and you think, wow, that's pretty incredible. And sometimes, God just really speaks to us and think, man, we serve an awesome God, don't we? God can reveal Himself. But what revelation has been revealed to you? And the second question is, how have you responded to that revelation? How have you responded to it? Have you given praise back to God? Have you acted upon that revelation? Have you said, God, I want to know you more. I want to know the one that's revealed Himself to me. The shepherds had been told that Jesus, the Savior, had been born. But that was not enough. Like the shepherds, we must act upon the knowledge and revelation that we have received and experienced him for ourselves, and to search him out until we find him and know him as our Lord and our Savior. Let's see what else happened. Verses 17 and 18 say, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were, what? Amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. So they see the Christ child, and they see all that, and as they're leaving, of course they're running into people. And they're excited, they're probably joyful, and they began to share with people on the way, say, man, you know what? We saw the angels, and we saw this heavenly host, and they said that the Savior had been born. We went into Bethlehem, and guess what? It was just like the angel had told us. We found Jesus. We found him wrapped in the manger with Mary and Joseph, his mom and dad. And he's the Savior. He's the one that the Scriptures have told us about, that the Messiah would come. There was an excitement in their voice and a happiness. And they shared it with everyone they came in contact with, because it was good news, right? It was good news. And the second thing that we can learn from the shepherds is to share your experience with the world around you. When God reveals himself to you and touches and changes your life, share that experience with the world around you. You know, things that we're truly excited about, we freely share with other people, right? I was at the Nebraska basketball game last night. Was there anybody that was crazy enough to stay up that late and watch the end of it? All right, okay, we were there. It was an 8 o'clock game. I tried selling the tickets, and because they've lost the last couple, I think everybody thought, oh, they're going to get killed. And so nobody wanted to buy a ticket, so we went and took Daniel. And, you know, it was the week for overtimes. Crete played Beatrice Thursday night. Both girls' and boys' games went into overtime. So it was the night for overtime. So it goes into overtime. It's a tight game the whole way. Goes into overtime. Not just one overtime, but two overtimes. And finally, Nebraska wins it, I think, by 1 point right at the end. And, oh, man, it was just pretty intense, pretty incredible. So I was texting Mark. Mark was watching it down at Evangel in Springfield. I was texting him. But just to be part of that experience, you know. And of course, the Pinnacle Arena was just nuts and crazy. Everybody was just standing on their feet. And they were all texting and stuff as well. But they were sharing the experience that they were having, right? Right? And you can actually text in the Pinnacle Arena now. Last year you couldn't, but you can actually text there. They're sharing stuff on Twitter, on Facebook, talking to their friends. Why? They were sharing the experience that they were part of. You know, when the shepherds left, that's what they were doing. They were telling everybody that they had. They were taking their phones out, and they were texting everybody, putting it on Facebook and Twitter, right? Right? No, they would have, right? They would have. If they'd have had a phone, a smartphone, right? They would have. But with all their capability, they shared the experience and the revelation that had been entrusted to them. And I don't think they had, you know what, a class on 101, how to share your faith. All right? I don't think the shepherds had that. They missed that in shepherd school. All right? They had learned a trade that had probably been taught them by their parents. You know, I don't think they were probably the people that were good speech people, you know, orators. They probably weren't the best at that. That wasn't their trade. That wasn't their practice. That was for the scribes and the religious people. They were common people. But you know what? If the shepherds can share the good news that was entrusted to them, you think you and I, from every walk of life, can share what Christ has meant to us? Whether it's just Christmas, hey, that the Savior has been born. You know, Christmas has become pretty commercialized. It's about the presents. We're hit, you know, even before Thanksgiving, we're hit, you know. You have to get out there and buy the presents. Now they want you to, you know, they want you to spend at least a good $100 or more on each person, you know. And we're hit with that. But that's not what Christmas is about. That's not the good news. It's about that the Savior has been born, that Christ has been born. And the shepherds got it right, and they told the people that they came in contact with, and the people were amazed, and the word began to spread. They shared with the world around them the good news, the revelation that had been entrusted to them. They did one other thing that I want us to look at. 19 and 20, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them within her heart. So she's already had, she's had Gabriel the angel come and talk to her, right? Saying, hey, you're going to be with child, you know? And here, she was a single woman, pledged to be married to Joseph, okay? So what seemed to be really exciting news at first, kind of after the more she probably thought about this, thinking, I'm going to be pregnant, not married, in a culture that I could be stoned for being unfaithful. Excitement was then tempered with reality, wasn't it? The things that had been trusted to her, and maybe she was more of a quiet person too. But it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. I'm wondering if Luke, if Mary was one of Luke's eyewitnesses, I just get the feeling that that is the case. That she treasured up all these things within her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned home, what? Praising, glorifying, and praising God for the things that they had heard and that they had seen, which they had been told about. So they share the good news with people they come in contact with, but they're also what? Praising God. Why? Why were they praising God? Why were they praising God? Because a Savior had been born, right? The one that in their scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, had been prophesied that the Messiah would come to deliver God's people from bondage and from their sin. They knew the scriptures enough. And they were excited about the news, and they praised and they glorified God that they'd been part of that experience. So the third principle there is that praise God that He has revealed Himself to you. And the question I have for you, when was the last time you just praised God that He revealed Himself to you and that He found you? And I worded it specifically that way because often we sometimes say, I found God. And really, that's not correct. God found you. Okay? God found you. Because if He hadn't extended His grace, if He hadn't sent His Son, there was no way that you would have been able to even draw close to God. God found you. He's been pursuing you before you even looked for Him. He's been pursuing you. He's been pursuing you. And see, not everybody that has the revelation of God revealed to them and His good news responds with sharing it with others or praising God. And just an example of that, I want you to look at Romans chapter 1. Go ahead a couple books to Romans chapter 1. Get through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to what it says. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godless and wickedness of men who suppress the truth, the revelation, by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. God's revealed Himself to them. Did you know that? How? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Paul's saying, you know what? Even as you look at a Nebraska sunset or sunrise, or look at the sky and the heavens, it is evident that there is a God. And it should beg the question that if you don't know God, that I want to know the one that put all those things in place and made them happen. And he says, men are without excuse. God has revealed Himself in some way, shape, or form. But although they knew God, verse 21, they neither glorified Him, praised Him, as the shepherds did, nor gave Him thanks. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They pushed it back. They didn't want to see the revelation of the good news. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of God from immortal images of God, made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. See, not everybody that has the glory of God revealed to them responds in a way that the shepherds did. Some people say, you know what? The truth is out there. I've heard it. But I'm still pushing it back. I was talking to a fellow last night. He's had several people in his life. He jokes about it. But the door's not open yet. He's pushing back what God has shared with him. When we all come to know God in different ways, through His Word, maybe through a friend, through maybe a radio or TV. I don't know how you came to know God. Maybe you grew up in a home where Christ was preached. But there has to be a time in our life where God makes Himself real to us. And those are moments that we never forget. I grew up in a Christian home. Grew up in church, so it was kind of like osmosis, probably. You know, I just pick things up. But I still remember. Some of you remember that? Some of you, I know, grew up that way. But I still remember at age 5 at a family camp where the altar call was given and I responded. And that was a very powerful experience. So even in my old age, I still remember that. It's very powerful. It's like it was today because God met me. And we all need those experiences in our life where God made Himself real to us. Just think about the shepherds. Probably on their deathbed, they maybe had forgotten everything else, but there's one thing that they remembered and that they probably passed along to their grandchildren and to their children, maybe great-grandchildren, was the night that God revealed Himself to them, to that angelic host, that the Christ, the Savior, had been born. Saying, don't forget that. And let it impact your life. You know, the Bible is a collection of books inspired by God. Old and New Testament. Written over a span, several hundred years. Different authors. But there's an incredible unity in these books. And there's a common thread that runs through every book of the Bible. And you see God's plan from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that God has a plan. That He's been pursuing, that relationship between God and man was broken in Genesis, right? Sin entered into the picture. And as sin entered in, so man's relationship with God was separated. And so a plan was put into place that God was going to deal with sin and sinful man so that relationship could be healed and restored. And that included sending His Son Jesus to die upon a cross so that we would not have to suffer the penalty of sin. But we could know God's salvation. And so we have the Christmas story that God sent His Son. And we have Easter that recognizes His Son being crucified on the cross for our sins. That is God's ultimate revelation, woven throughout Scripture and through time. And so what do we do with that revelation that God has shared with us? You've heard it today, so you're without excuse. I'm sorry. You can say, you can claim ignorance up to thou, maybe. But Paul would even say, hey, if you've seen a Nebraska sunrise or sunset, you're without excuse. We're all without excuse here. God has revealed His Word to us. So what do we do with that revelation? Well, the shepherds, they acted upon it. They went and found Christ, the Christ child. And they shared their experience with the world around them. And they praised God because He had revealed Himself to him. My question for each of you here today, I'm going to have the musicians come. What are you going to do with God's ultimate revelation? Are you going to wait one more day? Are you going to wait longer? Are you going to say, God, you have to make yourself more real than you already have? Are you going to tell people? You know, what I find is that the best people that share their faith are not the experienced, mature Christians. They're the ones that have just experienced Christ and His forgiveness. Like the shepherds a little bit. It was firsthand. It was fresh. It was real for them. And so that excitement and that passion came through in what they shared. It was more than just words. It was the excitement in their voice, the amazement that was still within their own hearts. And I know that the longer we walk with God, sometimes that can get a little stale, a little bit. As we go from Christmas to Christmas, we can lose the sense of the power of it, can't we? Right? We can lose the sense of it. But each and every day, we have to come before God and say, God, I need to know your presence and your glory in my life today, just as much as I did a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, years ago. I need to know your glory and your presence in my life today. And act upon it, embrace it, to know God. God is pursuing you. God's pursuing you. How are you going to respond to Him? We're going to close with that song, How He Loves Me. And it just talks about the love of God and how that God pursues us. That was a new concept to me until I went to seminary. I'd walked with God many, many, many years. As I began to study the Scriptures more, especially the Old Testament, it's very evident that God was pursuing us. I wasn't pursuing God. God was pursuing us. So much so that He sent His Son to die on the cross so that He could have fellowship with us. I've done nothing, right? Other than respond to His act of love. You've done nothing other than respond to Him. He put it in motion. He's the one that reached out to us that we could know Him. And maybe for the first time today, or you need to respond to Him. I'm going to have Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me over here, and Gil and Emily. How are you responding to the message of Christmas? Make an altar where you're at, but if you need to invite Christ into your heart and life this morning, He's pursuing you. And if you haven't made that real within your own life and said, God, I've been running. Maybe I've been pushing that off. Maybe I've just had done nothing with it. I know you're pursuing me, but I've done nothing. God's reaching out to you this morning. God's reaching out to you this morning. Yeah. So if that's you, would you just find one of us this morning just to pray with you? Would you lead us in that song?